So thank you for the introduction, Kenneth. And I will be presenting insights from the Louisville Healthy Heart Study on the association between benzene exposure, circulating angiogenic cell levels, and cardiovascular disease risk. In this presentation, let me move the cursor. In this presentation, I'll give some background on the links between cardiovascular disease and air pollution. I'll also describe the background on endothelial progenitor cells and circulating angiogenic cells. And please note, these are terms that I will be using interchangeably through this talk. Then I'll share methods of our Healthy Heart Study and the results and summarize those. So cardiovascular disease is the top cause of death worldwide. Here in the U.S., you see that it is ranked ahead of cancer, ahead of respiratory diseases. It's also important to note that the prevalence of cardiovascular disease is projected to grow. By 2030, it's expected to exceed 40% of the U.S. population of adults. This makes it particularly important to investigate factors that contribute to cardiovascular disease. And air pollution has been found to be an important factor that contributes to this disease. As you can see here in this meta-analysis by Art and Pope, they demonstrate that an increase in particulate matter of 10 micrograms per cubic meter correlates with increased relative risk for cardiovascular mortality from 5 up to 15%. In addition, the importance of this is demonstrated in the prevalence of exposure, as most of us are exposed to air pollution in some form. This study by Nowrod and others examines the different triggers of myocardial infarction, including cocaine, physical exertion, alcohol, other known triggers of myocardial infarction, but you'll see that air pollution exposure and exposure to traffic has a high population attributable fraction towards myocardial infarction as compared to these other known triggers here, and that is because of the high prevalence of exposure. In this study, it's estimated that 100% of the people investigated had exposure to these. So how is it possible that we breathe air pollution and it affects our cardiovascular system? Well, there are three hypothesized pathways by which this may occur. In the first pathway, the presence of particulate matter in our lung elicits pulmonary and oxidative stress and inflammation. This results in increased inflammatory cytokines. Increased platelet activation and thrombosis, also causing vasoconstriction and endothelial dysfunction. In the second pathway, the activation of the lung autonomic nervous system reflex arcs results in increased sympathetic nervous system responses, our fight or flight responses, and decreased parasympathetic nervous system responses, our resting state response. This results in increased blood pressure, increased heart rate, increased or decreased heart rate variability, as well as vasoconstriction again and endothelial dysfunction. And the third pathway, the translocation of particulate matter or its constituents, metals or ultrafine particulates, the translocation of this in the blood also can lead to vasoconstriction and endothelial dysfunction. So ultimately, you can see from all three of these pathways that the presence of particulate matter in the lung may elicit vascular responses, suggesting that the link between heart disease and air pollution is the vascular system. So in the research that I'll present today, we're looking to cells that are specific to the vascular system. Endothelial progenitor cells, or circulating angiogenic cells, these cells are mobilized from the bone marrow to participate in the upkeep of wear and tear of the vascular system. So they're mobilized with early markers or immature markers being CD34, the stem phenotype, and CD133, the early stem phenotype, as well as the hematopoietic phenotype as determined by the marker CD45. Once they become more mature and become incorporated into the endothelium, they will lose their early stem phenotype and gain the endothelial phenotype as detected by the CD31 marker. So these cells are mobilized to participate in the upkeep and wear and tear of the vessels, and so they participate in angiogenesis, the formation of new vessels, or vasculogenesis, the formation of new vessels from existing vessels. Importantly to note, especially in terms of our research, these cells have been found to be sensitive indicators of cardiovascular health, as atherosclerosis progresses as risk factors onset, hypertension, and diabetes, for example. As this progresses, levels of these cells decline. And so if you see this green bar here in a low-risk population, once there's a complication, these cells will be mobilized to tend to vascular injury. In a high-risk population, once there's a complication, this mobilization will not occur, and these people will have poorer prognosis, linking this with heart disease. Other evidence to support the link between EPCs, or circulating angiogenic cells, and heart disease, this VASA study demonstrates that as the number of risk factors for coronary artery disease increases, levels of these cells are significantly lower. And then also the Framingham risk score, which predicts heart disease risk. As this score increased in the Hill study, they found that the EPC levels significantly decreased. Not only have these cells been found to be significantly associated with heart disease risk, these cells have also been shown to be sensitive indicators of environmental exposures. In the study here by Tim O'Toole, they demonstrated that as particulate matter levels increased, or particulate matter exposure increased, levels of these cells significantly declined. And then in mice exposed, this study is in humans, and then in mice they showed that particulate matter exposed mice had significantly lower levels of EPCs than filtered air exposed mice. In addition, Haber-Zettel demonstrated a dose response curve where increased days of exposure was also associated with decreased levels of these cells. And these exposures and associations with these cells has not only been limited to particulate matter, but we've also demonstrated that exposure to acrolein decreases levels of these cells as well. So in the particular, in the study that I'm sharing with you today, we'll examine how they're associated with benzene levels. And benzene is particularly beneficial to study in terms of our research, as benzene is a known bone marrow toxin. Many studies on bloodborne cancers, including leukemia, have found that the target of benzene is the bone marrow. In addition, benzene has been associated with cardiovascular mortality as well as increased hypertension. So we're exposed to benzene through traffic exposure, exposure to industrial emissions, as well as cigarette smoke. And so for the metabolism of benzene, very briefly, benzene is metabolized by cytochrome P450-2E1. This causes the opening of the benzene ring and results in trans-transmuconic acid, TTMA, which we're able to detect in the urine to approximate people's exposures to benzene. TTMA has been useful in environmental investigations as well as in occupational studies of benzene exposures. We also want to note, as I explained, that we're exposed to benzene through traffic exposure. This study by Barbara Hoffman demonstrates that the closer people live to a major roadway, the higher their odds is for increased atherosclerosis. This is by comparison to people exposed to particulate matter, and the highest particulate matter exposure group doesn't demonstrate the same associations, suggesting that it's something in traffic other than particulate matter that is also contributing to cardiovascular toxicity. Therefore, we'll examine the relationship between cardiovascular disease risk and benzene exposure through benzene's interaction in cardiovascular sites as determined by the circulating angiogenic cell levels, and then we'll measure benzene through its metabolite, TTMA. In addition, we'll look at the sources of benzene exposure, traffic exhaust, and to approximate that, we'll look at residential proximity to major roadways, and then tobacco smoke exposure. And to approximate that, we'll look into metabolites of tobacco smoke, in particular, the metabolite of nicotine, which is cocaine. So, briefly, our study is a cross-sectional study. The Louisville Healthy Heart Study enrolled patients from 2009 through 2011 from cardiology clinics at the University of Louisville. We identified these circulating angiogenic cells using flow cytometry for the markers that I described to you before, and then we validated that these cells were truly angiogenic using the ID1 stain. For benzene exposure, we measured TTMA levels in the urine using GC mass spec. We also measured cotinine using GC mass spec. And in addition, we looked at the metabolite of acrolein, which is also a smoke constituent, measured that also using GC mass spec. And in addition, we looked at distance to roadway using GIS. So these are the cell types that we identified, the phenotypes of 15 different cell populations. I've highlighted the ones that will keep coming up in our discussion today, cell type 2, 8, 11, and 14. And what I want you to take away from this is that these are very rare cell populations in the blood. You can see that the abundance is low for all these cells, in particular those that I've highlighted. These are the results of the ID1 staining, the co-localization of the blue DAPI stain with the green ID1 stain indicates that the cells that we've identified are truly angiogenic cells. This is a lot to look at, so I want to focus your attention first down this totals column just to give you a feel for our study population. You'll see here that there's 210 people included in this analysis. And there's a good split between males and females in our study, with slightly more men than women. There's also a pretty good split between Caucasians and non-Caucasians within our study, with 44% of our population being non-Caucasian. And we also have a very high-risk population, being that we recruited from cardiology clinics. 81% have hypertension, 63% have hyperlipidemia, and nearly 40% are current smokers. So expanding to the rest of this table, we stratified our population into high, medium, and low TTMA levels. And we did this to determine what demographic factors may be different that need to be accounted for in the adjusted regressions. We found that Caucasians are more likely to have high TTMA, while African American populations are more likely to have lower TTMA levels. We also found that hyperlipidemia was positively associated with TTMA. And then smoking, as expected, was positively associated with TTMA, and that's based on self-report, as well as cotinine levels, the nicotine metabolite, that also demonstrated a positive association. So to look closer into the relationship between, or to validate the relationship between smoking and benzene exposure, we regressed TTMA levels in figure A here against cotinine levels and found a significant positive association. And then in figure B, we regressed TTMA levels against the acrolein metabolite HPMA, also a smoke constituent, and found a significant positive relationship, further verifying the link between smoking and benzene exposure. This is our study population. In figure 3A, this is Louisville or Jefferson County, Kentucky. The blue dots indicate our participants in the study, and you can see that many of them are hovered here in the more western portion of Jefferson County. This area is home to 11 rubber manufacturing industries at an industrial complex called Rubbertown. People that live in West Louisville tend to have higher exposures to air pollution by comparison to people in Points East. You can see that you may not be able to see. There are dashed lines, and there are heavy gray lines, and then dark black lines. All the lines here indicate major roadways in Louisville, and you can see that the people in the western Louisville portion have a denser road network. So we regress distance to roadway against TTMA levels, or we regress TTMA levels against distance to roadway, and we did not find a significant association between the two in our study. So in the assessment of the cells regressed against the TTMA levels adjusted for the potential confounders, we found that cell type 2, 8, and 14 are significantly inversely associated with TTMA. We stratified into just the non-smoking population and still found that cells 2, 8, and 14 remain suppressed under TTMA exposure. Then we stratified into just the Caucasian population, where we saw such a big difference in ethnicity, and we still found that cell 2, 8, and 14 were inversely associated with TTMA. But when we used the same analysis on the African American population, those associations no longer held up for any of the cell types. So we reassess the African American population, comparing the demographics to the Caucasian population, to find out if additional or other factors needed to be adjusted for. And they were. And then we did find that cell type 2, 8, and 14 were inversely associated with TTMA, but cell type 11, interestingly, was positively correlated with TTMA levels. Ultimately, we wanted to understand how TTMA was related to cardiovascular disease risk. So in figure A here, you'll see the high-risk population has significantly higher TTMA levels than the low-risk population. And we wanted to see this association outside of cigarette smoke exposure to understand the more environmental exposure to TTMA. And we found in figure B here that among non-smokers, the high-risk population had double the level of TTMA compared to the low-risk population. So to summarize, we found that TTMA levels were associated with cigarette smoke exposure, and levels of cells 2, 8, and 14 were inversely associated with TTMA, suggesting that benzene exposure suppresses levels of these cells. In addition, we found that TTMA levels were higher in people with high risk, regardless to smoking exposure. And we hope that in the future, we will examine the adverse CVD outcomes or risk factors and their associations with ambient benzene measurements. So there's some strengths to note in our study. It's a novel investigation of benzene exposure and circulating angiogenic cell levels. Also, it's a large population study in terms of EPC or CAC assessments, not very large in terms of environmental epidemiology. In addition, it's an individual measure of benzene exposure, so we're not approximating community exposures to an individual. And then we have an empirical smoke measurement, so we're not relying on self-report of cigarette smoke. But there are several limitations to note. The biomarkers are only collected at one time point, being that this is a cross-sectional assessment. And then there are many other metabolites of benzene, and so hopefully in the future we can create a panel of benzene metabolites and get more of an understanding of a person's true benzene exposures. There's also possible cotinine misclassification. While it's good that we don't have to rely on self-report, this cotinine level depends on when a person may have last smoked. Then they could be mischaracterized if they're a heavy smoker that hadn't smoked prior to their appointment, for example. In addition, there's possible selection bias. As I indicated, we recruit from cardiology clinics, so it is a convenient sample. And then we don't have any ambient benzene measurements to corroborate our metabolism values with. So it would be great if we can also do some air sampling and understand the ambient levels. So we thank the phlebotomists at U of L. We thank Dave, Dwayne, Melissa, Jordan, the Giortani Laboratory, and the Diabetes and Obesity Center. And this work was supported in large part by a grant from the Anthem WellPoint Foundation, the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences, the National Institute for General Medical Sciences, as well as the Center for Environmental Genomics and Integrative Biology. And I thank you all for your time, and I'll be glad to take any questions if I have time. Perfect. Thank you. Well, we expect that it's higher there, and at some points in the past, it had been detected at higher levels there. So, but we have not actually taken the people that live in those zip codes and compared them to the rest, and so that would be something interesting to do moving forward. Thank you.
I had a follow-up question.
Sure. The people in our population that are, if there are people in our population that are occupied at the rubber plant, they actually probably live in Points East, because many of the people that work at the rubber plant don't live in the neighborhood where the rubber plant is located. Unfortunately, in our original survey, we did not ask any questions about occupation. We've learned from that since then, and now we ask where they're employed. So So we can't quite approximate that. Well, what we want to do moving forward, and I didn't put this in here, we want to do a dose response. We want to find out which at which level or which concentration of TTMA does that then correlate with heart disease risk or with the cell levels indicating vascular injury. And at that point, I think that we will have a good case to say, here's evidence in hopes that reducing the output of benzene from cigarettes will show, will demonstrate reductions in at least this effect of heart disease risk. So we're hoping that we can move in that direction.
You all see cigarettes as being a major contributor?
Well, we do see cigarettes as being an important contributor, but even outside of cigarette smoke, we showed a higher effect outside of cigarettes. But we can look within that to at least pinpoint cigarettes and their link. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.